Alrighty, everyone. Welcome to episode 17 of Scooter and the Big Man. We got a lot of Steve Cohen stuff to talk about. Marcus Stroman is making his way back to Queens for a one-year deal. We break down the award races, the Hall of Fame pitcher, some rumors buzzing around our New York Mets, and we have a list of our top five favorite balls. All takes place right here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started.
We interrupt this Scooter and the Big Man intro for some breaking news. There was a scoregami this Sunday. Tampa Bay 46, Carolina 23. That was the 1,060th unique final score in NFL history. We now bring you back to your originally scheduled program.
All right, so welcome to episode 17 of Scooter and the Big Man. Before we even get started with anything, I'm just going to say right now, hand up, this is my flu game. I am performing right now for all of you with strep throat. So you don't have to say I'm a hero, but, you know.
You won't.
Wasn't going to.
You can mention that this is pretty heroic.
No, nope, just not going to do it.
Some would say this is brave.
Nope.
I'm like Ike Davis with Valley Fever.
Nope, nothing at all like that.
What's Valley Fever?
Google it, and that'll be your fun fact. Welcome to episode 17. We have a lot of exciting stuff to break down for us. Let's just start with what happened first this week. Marcus Stroman accepted his qualifying offer. 1 year, $18.9 million. Thoughts on Marcus Stroman staying with the New York Mets?
I was genuinely shocked that he accepted the Q. I thought there was no way he was accepting that, but that's literally the Cohen difference. Like, it sounds like it's just a thing that us Mets fans would say, oh, it's all different now. It's a Cohen difference. That's literally a Cohen difference. He literally said, I watched this press conference. I'm all in. Let's do this. And he signed his QO. I was, like I said, genuinely shocked seeing that because I thought he was going to go to the open market. We were going to have to pay, give him 5 years, however much he was asking for, like $100 million or some shit like that. So I'm very excited about this. This was a really, really good sign. And I want to know your thoughts too.
I mean, I mentioned it maybe like not last episode, but two or three episodes ago that I think the qualifying offer for Stroman was going to be an interesting decision. He had not pitched the year before, and $18.9 million for one season. That's a lot of money. And it was going to be close to the annual salary that he probably got on a long-term deal, maybe just like a tick underneath. So if he honestly didn't believe that he was going to get some crazy long-term deal, or maybe if he wanted to do better, and my dog is going absolutely crazy. All right, hold on. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Now the mute button is on. He's yelling. He's nervously laughing, and he's out of frame.
And all right, Pat, what do you think about Marcus Stroman accepting his qualifying offer?
Do you
know what a qualifying offer is?
Yeah, it's when like they offer. What is it? They offer a contract, and you don't have to. This is different though than arbitration, right?
Yes, this is different from arbitration. I could be wrong in this, but I always attribute it to kind of like a franchise tag that. Okay. That the player doesn't always have to sign. So like,
is it like a player option or is it?
It's not like an option because it's not like the player, like I said, the player doesn't have to opt in, nor does the team have to offer it. But if the team offers it to the player and they don't accept, they get an extra draft pick.
Oh, okay.
Like a compensatory pick or whatever it's called, compensation pick.
Oh, that makes sense. Brian, what do you think about the Marcus Stroman qualifying offer?
And I already talked about it briefly. obviously, my dog, Louie, shout out Louie, had his own thoughts about it. And
he was not very happy, it sounded.
He was not very fond of the Amazon delivery guy ringing the doorbell, which not many of them do. I don't know why. We're not going to talk about that. But anyway, yeah, I'm actually really happy that he did take that offer. I love the interaction on Twitter that him and Cohen had, where like he like thanked Steve Cohen for it. And then Steve Cohen was like, hey, I'm going to call you in a couple of days. And it was just like it was such a cool interaction to see take place on Twitter. And then you saw other Mets like on Twitter also like tweeting at him or messing around. I don't know if you saw Noah Syndergaard change like his Twitter bio to like, "Hi, I'm Noah Syndergaard." It was very Noah-esque. Noah's extremely awkward. It was like extremely awkward like bio. He was like, "Hi, I'm Noah Syndergaard. I play for the Mets. I just want to make the Met fans happy. Like, hi, Mr. Cohen." It was like very uncomfortable. But like,
It's the Cohen difference. Like no one on the Mets was doing this shit when the fucking Wilpons were here. Like no one was caring. No one's opting into the contract just because they saw a Wilpon press conference. Like, it's actually making a difference. And people have asked like all the time, like, "Oh, do you think an owner can make that much of a difference?" Yeah, this is it. You're literally seeing how much of a difference a good owner and a good like environment can do.
A couple things too that you have on this is that agents have already like came out and publicly said that a difference with this regime is that already the communication has been so much stronger when they've been talking to the Mets. And I mean, I was going to bring it up a little later on, but this seems like a good kind of segue into it. The guy I want, the big fish out there, Trevor Bauer, he did make a YouTube video. It's like a 16-minute video. If you have not seen it, check it out. It is on his YouTube channel of him talking about Steve Cohen. And it's specifically him talking about him from like a business standpoint. And he like listed the top four things that Cohen said during his press conference and has already done that has stood out to Trevor Bauer. And like the number one thing, he was like, Steve Cohen made a Twitter account and was responding to fans, asking for fans' opinions and all this stuff on it. And he was like, and that's just such a big difference. He's like, if you were to release any type of product out in today's world, you would ask for reviews, you would want your consumer feedback and all this stuff. He's like, and we don't do that with sports. He's like, owners don't do that. He's like, you're going to consume our product like anyway, so why would we do that? And he's like, but Steve Cohen is actively doing that and engaging and responding. And the whole video was actually really interesting. I mean, he did talk about like the difference between like being that, it being in the same space as the Yankees. So that was cool to kind of listen to his opinion on the Mets, Yankees, same city. But he was basically just like, don't copy the Yankees. This was Trevor Bauer saying it. Like, don't copy the Yankees, build your own thing. And he's like, and now they can do that with like Cohen at the helm.
I'm genuinely curious to see how many things that like how many fan opinions or suggestions, by the better word, that he's actually going to like do. And there's probably a more eloquent way of asking that question or saying that, but I'm curious to see how many of these things that he's actually going to put forth and try and get done. I feel like, I mean, I have no reason to believe that he's not going to do some of the, like there are obviously some more outlandish ones or kind of shouldn't do, but you know, things like bring the black jerseys back, renovate the outside of the stadium, things that we brought up in our things we want going to do lists are very possible. I'm curious to see when, how, and if he's going to do all those.
I think one of the things too, someone said bring like do an old timers day. I think he's definitely going to do stuff like that.
Yes. He brought up in the press conference.
Yeah. We'll definitely see. I mean, I love the energy right now going around like just like this organization. Like it's such like a positive buzz and a lot of people have their eyes on us and it's not for like a negative thing. Kind of going back for a second, we did mention Syndergaard. Syndergaard posted on Twitter also this week of him throwing a bullpen session. A Met fan just randomly tweeted at him and they were like, "Hey, like how's the rehab going?" And Syndergaard just responded with a shirtless bullpen session of him just like throwing fucking heat. So obviously we're not expecting to see Noah to start the season. Maybe like June, July, we might see Noah back in a Met uniform pitching in Queens. But I mean, that was encouraging. It was nice to see that he's already on a mound throwing bullpen sessions. I have a funny comparison I want to bring up to you because you're also a Knicks fan. And
I think I know exactly what you're going to say.
I saw this on Twitter and this is like the truest thing I've ever seen. It's a perfect comparison for Noah Syndergaard. Shirtless Noah Syndergaard is hoodie Carmelo Anthony.
I was going to bring up that he's just J.R. Smith.
Oh, I wasn't going to disrespect him that much.
I liked J.R. in the Knicks. He won the sixth man of the year.
Because like shirtless Noah's throwing these crazy like bullpen sessions. He's absolutely shredded. He's throwing like freaking heaters down the middle. And like Hoodie Carmelo does not miss a shot.
Now, Hoodie Carmelo Anthony is the greatest basketball player of all time.
And I feel like that's Noah without a shirt on. You put Noah back in a shirt, though, he becomes human again.
So what you're saying is Noah should go out on the mound without a shirt. Or he just paint his jersey on. So it's not a shirt, but he's wearing a jersey.
I mean, these are all options that he should consider.
I'm going to tweet at Uncle Stevie and see if we can get that done.
Wasn't there this is like really off track. Giancarlo Stanton, he might have been Mike Stanton when he did this. They painted a Marlins jersey on him for like a photo shoot, and it's like really uncomfortable, and like they like documented like him being painted.
I cannot remember this.
Yeah. Pat could find the photo if we ever want to make this a clip, but it's very uncomfortable. It's like him standing shirtless, but they painted a Marlins home jersey on him.
Yeah, it's for Sports Illustrated. I'll send you guys the pictures.
It's kind of weird.
I don't remember this whatsoever. I'm shocked.
I think it took him like 4 hours or something to paint a Marlins jersey on his body, and it's just so it's weird.
They even did the sleeve too, like his like the compressed shirt underneath. Like it's oh my god.
Was this a Pat? Can you tell me if this is a Florida Marlins or Miami Marlins?
It was Miami.
It was Miami.
Yeah.
Oh, so there's all different colors and shit. Oh my god.
Yeah.
I gotta see this on this shit. But
yeah, I'll send in the Zoom group chat.
It wasn't like a body issue. It was like, hey, we're just gonna paint you. Yeah. So, shout out. So if Noah maybe can copy that and get painted.
Now I don't know if I want him to after hearing this, but I still gotta see this picture.
Did you spell Marlins wrong?
Merlin. For everyone who obviously is not in our Zoom chat, Pat spelled Marlins M-E-R-I-L-I-N-S.
It's the wizard from like from King Arthur.
Merlin. Oh yeah, that's it. Yep. Model slugger. That's all paint. It's for super weird. We'll post that picture with like no context on Twitter.
Yeah, post that picture now.
You both should do that with Mets jerseys, with the jerseys you're wearing now, too.
Oh, that's weird.
Nope, not
yet. Yeah, that's uncomfortably weird.
I also don't know anyone that could paint that well. Pretty exciting week for award season. Mm-hmm. We had the MLB awards get announced. We also had the Hall of Fame ballot get announced for the voting that will take place in... I don't know when the actual voting takes place on the Hall of Fame ballot.
Not positive.
I think it takes place like in July, right? Because that's when the ceremony usually is, right?
No, the actual voting takes place way before that. I think it's in like February. I think it's before the season starts.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's like January, February type thing.
Good thing.
Not positive though.
Good thing we have a producer who could look that up.
Yeah.
So we don't really have a New York Met on the ballot who has a shot at making the Hall of Fame. We have Billy Wagner, who got 34% of the vote last year. That's not probably ever going to get high enough to get him into the Hall of Fame. He needs 75%. But there are some interesting former Mets on here. You want to read them off?
Yeah. I mean, the ones that stood out obviously were Wagner, famous former Met Gary Sheffield, and Bobby Abreu.
And Michael Kadire.
Yes. He's new to the ballot. You can forgive me if I forgot, even though I said it before we started the podcast, that I completely forgot that Michael Kadire was a Met.
My favorite Yankee of all time is on that ballot.
Is it AJ Burnett?
It is not. It is Nick Swisher.
Nick Swisher, people forget, was in an episode of How I Met Your Mother.
I did not forget. I knew that.
Yeah, good. It was a good episode too. I remember that. One of my favorites.
It was season 9, right?
No. This is season 5.
There's no way you know the season and episode.
It's like season 5, episode 16. Perfect week.
Let's keep going. Let's check
it. Wow, he even knew the episode name. Season 5, episode 16, the perfect
week. The episode might be wrong. It's somewhere in that mid-teens area, but it's season 5, the perfect week.
It's not episode 16. 16 was Hooked.
Okay. It's around that. It's in that. It's like a teen number.
Even if you get the season right, that's pretty good.
I'm like positive it's season 5.
All right. So any thoughts on the Hall of Fame?
I mean, the thing when I saw this ballot, like no names really jumped off. Like you've had there's guys obviously that have been on here a long time. We'll get to the ones we definitely want to talk about. But there's usually a guy like last year, like a Jeter, like, oh, you know, he's going to get a fuck ton of the votes. Or years ago, like Mariano Rivera, Griffey, like there's not that huge name on this list. So I think this is the year that Bonds and Clemens get in.
What do you think? No, I honestly think so. I think they were progressing towards getting in. I think the mindset on both those players is that eventually they will get in. Now, let's take off the we think they will get in cap for a second. Mm-hmm. Do you think they deserve to be in?
Yeah, I do. There are guys who have done steroids that are in the Hall of Fame right now. There's guys like, I'm pretty sure like Pudge Rodriguez was in that Mitchell report. I don't know all the guys off my head, but there's a few guys who were on that list or who have been implicated in doing steroids that are in the Hall of Fame. So if those guys are in, why can't Bonds and Clemens be in?
So like this will open the door then for like basically anyone.
Yeah.
Anyone.
If either of these guys get in, you're going to see a guy like A-Rod's going to get in.
Former Met owner A-Rod?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Current Met Robinson Cano could get in.
Yeah,
like that's true. I have my thoughts on steroids, and
we would like to hear them if you would like
I'm gonna share them. It's when they came in the late 90s when baseball was kind of right after the strike. They're in such a fucking terrible spot. And the home run race of Sosa and Maguire literally saved baseball. So I had the mindset of steroids kind of saved baseball. So steroids is such a weird thing, but people don't really talk about how hard, like for Barry Bonds, for example, people just see the 762 homers he hit and be like, oh, that's because of steroids. He wasn't actually that good. It's because steroids. No, you still have to be really fucking good at baseball to make contact and hit that many home runs. So like it would just be weird for me to not see the all-time home run leader in baseball not be in the Hall of Fame and the all-time hits leader in Pete Rose, which that's a story for a different day, to those two guys not be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know. Those are my thoughts. And Bonds, even without the steroids, was an incredible player. Would have been a 500 guy.
I agree. I mean, honestly, that's just the Barry Bonds side of it. I mean, you look at Roger Clemens. I think the guy has what, like fucking 7 Cy Young awards.
Something crazy. Like, I'm pretty sure it is 7.
It's like absolutely absurd.
These are generational guys that like have like. It's a part of steroids. Just a part of baseball. That's such a huge part of that era of baseball that like kind of just excluding that part of baseball in the Hall of Fame, kind of, it wouldn't be genuine to the history of baseball to leave those guys out.
Honestly too, like I wouldn't even mind if like in the Hall of Fame, there was like a section being like, hey, listen, these guys are in the Hall of Fame, but like, this is our steroid era. Like, this is it. Like, come up with a better name for it, but maybe not like blatantly say like, hey, these are all the guys who did performance enhancing drugs, but like do it as like an era. Yeah. Something like that. But like you could word it and make it something else. Or it's like, listen, we acknowledge that this was like part of our time frame, but we're not going to discredit like the performance, the awards, all these things these guys have. Yeah, I mean, but it's also interesting too, because like I remember going to games, and this was like after Ryan Braun won MVP. Mm-hmm. It was like when he got back from his like suspension and everybody knew he did steroids. Everyone booed the fuck out of this man. And it was like the same with A-Rod. Anytime A-Rod came to like Citi Field, like we booed the hell out of these players. Any of the guys who ever got accused, Manny Marie, like Ramirez, anyone who ever did steroids, we booed them and we hated them as fans. So why is the mindset different now that they're not playing, where we're like, yeah, they could go to the Hall of Fame? Like, you understand, like we literally hated them because they cheated, and we booed them and we yelled things and we were obscure to them because they cheated. Mm-hmm. And now after the fact, it's like time for them to get to the Hall of Fame. And every fan's like, yeah, they could go to the Hall of Fame. It's such a weird twist.
It is a weird twist. And I think it's literally because in the moment, it was like, this guy cheated to beat my team. Fuck him. But then when they're out of the league or it's kind of past it in the sense of like a Ryan Braun, who it's like past that point, you're like, oh, okay. I'm kind of over it now. And looking back, these guys did some incredible shit, even if they were helped by performance enhancing drug. Like, it's still fucking insane. Like I said, I keep going back to Bonds, because like 75 homers in a season, 762 homers in a career. Like, you still have to be really fucking good at baseball to do those things. The steroids just help you hit it a little farther. You still have to be coordinated and have great hand-eye coordination to hit the ball. Like, there's still a lot of baseball skill involved in hitting those homers. It just helps you hit them farther. That's just my take on it. I think that a Bonds and a Clemens should be in because they were generational talents. And going back to what I said earlier, it would be disingenuous to not put those guys or at least mention them in your Hall of Fame, because they were such a huge part of the game.
I agree. I'm going to take something you said, though, and transition into a new topic. So we're talking about generational talents. Let's get into some awards that were won over this last week. I don't know if any of these four guys will ever be in the Hall of Fame, but I definitely want to dive into the MVP for both leagues and the Cy Young Awards. And then if you have any of the other ones you want to bring up, by all means. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, where do you want to start? Do you want to go MVPs first or Cy Youngs first?
Let's start with Cy Youngs, because it kind of has more to us with Cy Young.
All right. So let's just go straight to the one that matters the most to us. NL Cy Young is future Met Trevor Bauer. We knew this kind of going into the voting that Trevor was probably going to win. We are really excited and happy for you, Trevor. We are congratulating you on your Cy Young Award. It was very well deserved. Nobody more deserving of this award than you, Trevor Bauer. We cannot wait for it to be handed to you when you're on Citi Field, like at Citi Field by home plate. They'll hand it to you. You'll be up on the big screen. We'll all clap and celebrate your heroics. So congratulations, Trevor Bauer.
Heroics?
Oh, are you done?
I thought you had more. He's a fucking hero, Pat.
For throwing
Who, who's more of a hero, Trevor Bauer for winning the Cy Young, or you for doing this with a strep throat that you had yesterday?
I mean, that's true. Strep throat doesn't go away after one day. You could hear there's nasally congestion.
Brian, you sound completely fine.
You sound fine.
I have a whole bag of Hall's cough drops that I keep popping.
Are those
in.
Still no free ads? Those aren't even the good ones, too.
No, I don't like the ones that taste like medicine. I like the ones that taste like honey. They don't really do anything.
Yeah, you're just eating candy at this point.
It's stuck to my teeth.
Brian's just eating butterscotch candy without even knowing.
All right, but obviously, forget Trevor for a second. The thing that's interesting to us is DeGrom finished third. I was actually a little annoyed by that. I thought he should have finished second, but I mean,
I was kind of expecting the third place finish. I mean, he had like one or two starts at the end of the season where they weren't the Grom-esque, where I think put him behind Darvish as that second place. I mean, by midway through the season, it was kind of Bauer's award to lose. So like, not really a shock here. Good for him. I'd love for him to be on the Mets next year. That's all I'm really going to say on that.
He will be on the Mets, by the way.
Do you think, I'll just bring it up then. Going back to the Stroman qualifying offer, do you think that puts a damper on the Mets getting Bauer?
No.
No? You still think they're all in on it?
They're all in. We're going to get Trevor Bauer.
I wouldn't be opposed to it, but
You don't have to be opposed to it. The Mets are going to have Trevor Bauer in their rotation next year.
Trevor, I would love for you to be on this team.
Opening day, I don't know who we open against, but let's say it's just the fucking Nationals. Give me like DeGrom, Scherzer, Bauer, Strasburg, and like Corbin Strobin.
Give me Strobin?
Yeah, I did, because I have strep throat and I fuck up my words sometimes.
No, you fuck up your words even without strep throat.
You know, you guys should just be really nice to me right now.
Let's move on to the AL Cy Young.
You're being a little disrespectful. No.
But today you're killing it.
Let's go. For those who don't know, I have a sign on the wall behind me that says, "Today I will kill it." And that's
still has it, yeah.
I'm not going to take it down. It's a nice sign. All right. AL Cy Young Award. This one was like decided like 3 weeks into the season. I feel like this was over and done with. Shane Bieber won the AL Triple Crown and the AL Cy Young Award. If you don't know what the Triple Crown is, we led the league in wins, ERA, and strikeouts. Mm-hmm. The last AL pitcher to do that was Johan Santana with the Minnesota Twins in 2006.
Pat, do you know who the last NL pitcher to do it was?
Scherzer.
It was not.
No, it was not.
All right.
I asked that question because we literally talked about this before the podcast. It was Clayton Kershaw.
I was going to say Kershaw, too, for my second guess.
No, you weren't.
Second guess doesn't matter.
Yeah, like you said, this was kind of decided early on in the season. Shane Bieber was fucking incredible this year. Shit the bed in the playoffs a little bit, though, against the team we don't talk about. But, yeah, I mean, both Cy Youngs were kind of determined midway through the season, so no real shocks here.
I think it was the first time, and this might be wrong, but I'm just going to say it anyway. I think it's the first time that there was a Cy Young Award where they were teammates the year prior. So, like, does that make sense?
No, I know what you're talking about. Just trying to think in my head if I could think of anyone else off the top of my head. That
I thought I saw that on Twitter. Again, that's not like an accurate source, but they were both on the same team the year before, and they each won a Cy Young Award like the following season.
I wouldn't be shocked if that's a true statement. That's a hard thing to do. But let's move on to the MVPs, unless you have anything else on Cy Youngs.
No, honestly, MVPs, I don't know if this is going to be a controversial take on a Mets podcast, but like, good for fucking Freddie Freeman, man.
I don't really hate. I mean, on the field when he's playing the Mets, fuck Freddie Freeman because he just destroys them. But I have no problem. I genuinely have no problems with Freddie Freeman. Everything I've heard, he's a super nice dude. He deserved it this year. He was fucking incredible. This was another one that was kind of determined early, but I feel like no one really knew. Like it kind of went on, if that makes sense, it kind of went under the radar how good he was this year. And like, but it was obvious that he was going to win MVP.
Yeah. Honestly though, like I just like Freddie Freeman. Like I really do. Like I know he's like on like the Braves and whatnot, but like just as a ball player, like I just like him. I like his style. Like he's always been like fun. He does like some of the, he's worn like the mic.
Mm-hmm.
And like went up during the All-Star game. He did it a couple times during spring training too. He's just like very interactive and he always just seems like a down to earth, cool guy. And like, he has one of those crazy, like fucking like swings, like where when he gets like a full on connection for like a homer, like it's just such a fucking beautiful swing.
He hits, like, he hits piss rockets.
He literally hits fucking piss missiles. It's incredible.
If he was on like any like West team or like a Central team, like not a direct rival of the Mets, he would probably be one of my favorite guys because I do like watching him play. I just hate watching him play for the Braves.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, I hate when he does it against the Mets because like anytime we play him, I'm like, he's going to fucking destroy us.
Yeah. AL MVP also kind of determined, kind of an obvious one that no one really talked about. I feel it was Jose Abreu. Jose Abreu was also fucking incredible this year, but same thing with Freddie Freeman. I feel like everyone knew that he should be the MVP, but no one kind of talked about how good he was. It could just be me not really listening as much, but I feel like didn't really hear as much about Jose Abreu as you should have throughout the entire season. He did have like that stretch of games where he hit like 9 home runs in like a week.
Yeah, I feel like he's kind of a player in general that was almost like forgotten about, but like he's never really had a bad season. He's only just been getting consistently better and better and better. And honestly, he's such a like a special player and no one talks about him. I feel like he got lost with the White Sox, and maybe now with the White Sox getting, you know, younger and better and a little more buzz around them themselves, maybe if they make it to a playoff series or whatever, like we could start seeing more and hearing more about him. I think also something that's crazy that came out of that AL MVP like scenario, obviously like Shane Bieber got a little bit of buzz when you win the pitching triple crown, like you're going to be considered for winning that award too. Mm-hmm. But like, this was the worst finish of Mike Trout's career and he finished 5th.
It's crazy. That's so fucking insane.
Fucking ridiculous that this was the worst MVP finish of his entire career. And he finished in the top 5 still.
That just shows you how good Mike Trout has been.
That's
since
every season. I know. Like, Jose Abreu won, like we should focus on him. But like, I need to just sprinkle that in because that's a fucking crazy stat.
No, like I said, it just shows you how good Mike Trout has been his entire career. Like he never had that like, oh, that rookie little slump or that sophomore slump or whatever you want to say, like early in his career. He was just balls to the wall great from the get-go. And like I said, I don't want to take away from Jose Abreu because Jose Abreu was incredible. But it's, I don't know. It's just another talking point for the MVP. And I do want to quickly bring up the managers of the year. Talk about that quickly. Kevin Cash for the AL. I feel like that was also another one that was obvious and good for him. I know he had the, we talked about it, the gaffe in the World Series that quote unquote cost them, but overall, he's still probably the one of the best managers in the league. The NL one is what I'm interested in. And same thing with like Freddie Freeman. I don't want to be like applauding our division rivals, but good for Don Mattingly. Good for the Marlins. That's a well-deserved manager of the year for a team that should not have been anywhere as good as they were, especially with COVID destroying their team in early on in the season, for them to keep on playing at a high level. It was 60 games. It wasn't a full season, but still, that's a young team. Good for them, honestly. Well-deserved.
And the fact that they won a playoff series.
Yeah.
Like, they did. They went and fucking beat the Chicago Cubs, who the Chicago Cubs are. They were a solid team. I mean, like, where they finished? They finished first, right? They won the division, the Cubs?
They won the division, yeah.
Yeah, so they went in, they fucking go to play a division winner, and they beat them. Like, so, you know, good for them. They weren't supposed to be there at all. And then the fact that they were there, you know, they were able to make a little noise, like, good for them. Honestly, like, do I think the Marlins are going to be a problem next year? No, but I feel like I say that every year, and maybe now this is just the changing of the tide. The Marlins have a lot of exciting things coming.
I don't think we're going to go into next year saying, oh, the Marlins easy win or should be an easy series win. I think they're going to be like, all right, this could be a challenge. Like, I'm not going to go into every Marlins game being like, oh shit, we have to play the Marlins. But I'm going to go in being like, this is not a pushover team anymore.
I feel like they're just going to, like, I feel like they've earned the title of like scrappy. Like, yeah. And you don't want to play scrappy teams because they're just going to annoy you and they're going to like grind you out. All right. While we are on the Marlins did something absolutely incredible that will probably change baseball forever. They hired the first woman general manager, not just in baseball, but this is in all four major sports in the United States. No woman has ever held the title of general manager. They've been like executives and whatnot, but never have they gotten this far. They hired Kim Ng. I think job, I said that right.
Yeah, I think you got it right.
There you go.
For those of you who obviously don't know, for the last hour, we've been trying to help Brian pronounce your name right.
Oh, good job.
Yeah, good job.
I'm not going to say it again because I said it, I said it once correctly, and it's very, very challenging. But yeah, honestly, like, being serious for a moment, this is absolutely incredible for baseball. And I'm really happy that baseball was the sport to do this. I mean, obviously we've had like, there are some coaches like strength and conditioning coaches in the NFL. And like, so we definitely have a stronger woman presence growing within all four sports. Mm-hmm. That being said, I think baseball was a little bit further along with this than some of the other ones are. I'm sure we will see that in the other four sports down the line. But nonetheless, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's incredible. And you mentioned other people in other women in prominent positions in other sports. I just also want to bring up Becky Hammons for the Spurs, very prominent assistant coach. Yep. While I'll bring up other people. But yeah, no, this is awesome. That's really all you can say about it. And it's not like the Marlins were just hiring her to be this like kind of PR thing, like, oh, look at us, we hired a woman, we're so progressive. No, she has a lot of experience. Like, she was like in the front office for those like Yankee teams, I think when they won in 98 99 2000. Mm-hmm. She's been around the game and been in front offices for well over two decades, so like, she has the credentials to do this job well, and good for her. They gave her a shot. I'm very excited to see how they do here or how she does here. And like I said, it's good for the sport and sports in general that we're kind of going in this direction, kind of hiring more diverse people.
So obviously you and I are on Twitter a lot, and I don't know if you feel the same way, but like, I feel like it's such a misconception, especially within baseball. Baseball is such a universally like loved sport. Like, when you go through your Twitter account, and we follow a shit ton of Met fans, I feel like it's 50-50. I really do feel like I have like half Met half men followers, half women followers, like when it comes to like contributing for like all the stuff on baseball. If anything, on Mets Twitter, I feel like there might almost be more of a stronger like female presence than there is male at times. And like, I hate that like this has to be such a like, I'm trying to think of a good way to word this, but like people downplay the fact that how much like women love sports. Mm-hmm. And like guys are such assholes to girls when they're like, oh yeah, I love sports. So guys are like, oh, name five players. It's like immediately guys just like always fucking like discredit women when they're like, yeah, I like sports. It's like, no, you fucking idiot. They can like sports. And they probably, some of them probably know way more than you do. And like, I just hate that that mentality exists. And like, you see it, a lot of the girls on Twitter are really funny about it. Like, they'll post some of like the conversations that guys will have with them, like when they like slide into like their messages and whatnot, being like, oh, like, why do you like the Mets? The Mets suck. You should like my team because this is my team. She's like, cause I grew up a fucking Mets fan. Like, shut the fuck up.
Like, I do find it like, if they like, it is funny to like kind of see those interactions because like, cause the women on whatever Twitter, cause I follow like a few people on Brown's Twitter who it's kind of like that. They post that same type of shit. Like, oh, a guy looks like their DMs and it's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Exactly what you said. And they'll just go back or something. I find that funny because like anyone could be knowledgeable at sports. It's not a fucking gender thing. It's fucking stupid to think that. And for, like you said, any dickhead person to go to a girl, like, oh, name five players. Like, you can like whatever the fuck you want. It's an inclusive thing. That's what I like about that baseball is kind of in that sphere and a little bit more down that road than I think some of the other sports are at this point. And this hire kind of shows that.
I think we have a lot of people out there that are living in the old times with their mindset on some things. And I hope that as like we grow as like a generation, that mindset dies off and fades away. But if you're not aware of this, you fully need to be. There's a lot of fucking strong, smart fucking women out there that are going to take over the fucking world. So you either better fucking realize that or you're going to get crumpled by them because they are fucking juggernauts. And I'm so happy that this happened within baseball. And I hope it happens in other sports where it's like the tides are shifting, where it's no longer like people view gender as anything else. It's everyone's equal. Everyone's on the same playing field. If this is your passion, if you're fucking qualified, like, that's why you're going to get the job. You're going to get the job because you're qualified and you're fucking good at what you do. It doesn't matter who you are, what you look like anymore. It's like, this is how it should have always been.
Brian, we should probably stop talking about this before Andy Martino gets mad at us for talking about this.
All right, hold on. this wasn't in our notes, but when we got on the topic, I was like, oh, fuck, Andy Martino, my boy Andy fucked up again. All right, so this is when Andy Martino tweeted. I actually had it already opened up on my phone. I was so triggered by this fucking tweet. Such a fucking clown. He goes, men are not particularly needed to discuss the hire of Kim. Ah, shit. I can't say the last name.
Eng.
Let's leave this one to Susan Waldman and many others who are perfectly capable of discussing its significance and leave ourselves out of something for one goddamn time. I know it's hard for me too. That's why we're dudes. So basically, he's like, men should not be able to comment on this hire. Only women should be able to comment at it. Let's like leave ourselves completely out of it. I'm very happy that he got completely fucking ratioed and dragged. Most of the replies, if you scroll through the tweet, most of them are women responding to him being like, no, like this is good for women. Like we want this being like well talked about. One of the replies, I prefer everyone to be excited. I do enjoy hearing most from women who love and have been around. What is another one? Jerry Blevins responded to it. And Jerry Blevins said, no, Andy, men can be excited for her hire. And then Andy Martino doubled down on the awful take. And he said, prefer the excitement not be on Twitter.
He's like, such a Jesus. Fucking clown.
Andy Martino, I really don't root for people to like lose their job or like, because like, obviously, like he probably has a family. He's trying to support people. Like you don't want someone to lose their income. But man, fuck you, Andy Martino. I hope you get completely fucking fired and derailed and you have to go into a completely different career. You are just a fucking clown, man. You're a clown. And you're not a self-aware clown.
Like I was gonna say, do you think that we hit him up in the DMs and I still don't know if he's self-aware of like what he's doing. But I think he is. It's crazy. It's fucking crazy that he keeps doing this shit.
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know how you put that tweet out. Like, you have everyone in the sports community, you have everyone in the baseball community celebrating women and are really excited about a hire. You know what I mean? And like, you go out there and being like, men need to like basically shut up and don't celebrate this. Let them talk about it and let them have this one goddamn time. It's like, no, then we're just creating the separation again.
I got to find the quote. It was Meek Phil who quote tweeted and said exactly like the perfect thing. All right. Here's what he said. Quote tweeting that tweet. He said, oh my God, you don't need to act high and mighty here. Just say it's great for baseball and people should be saying it's great. It's not fucking hard. That's exactly the fucking point right there. It's not fucking hard. Just say it's a good thing. And you don't have to make this controversial take. Just say this is a great thing for baseball. Good for everyone involved. I'm very excited. Let's go. Like, that's all you fucking have to say.
And he can't because he's a fucking idiot.
He's the worst.
He is. He's an idiot. He's literally one of the worst reporters of all time. I'd rather have Bob Nightingale cover the Mets because at least I know the opposite of what he says will happen. So like, I'll still have fact that I could follow. I just have to think about it a little more.
Yeah. All anything right. else on this?
Not on that. Let's stay on the title of social media though. We had some interesting things happen with our current New York Mets shortstop, Ahmed Rosario. Mm-hmm. I say current because this is a really weird scenario that kind of unfolded. Ahmed Rosario deleted every single Mets Instagram photo off of his Instagram page. Then within the next day, he goes on Instagram Live with, I believe someone said his cousin or like a relative. They were only speaking in Spanish. However, the only English word spoken was the word Cleveland.
Yeah, thoughts? It's a weird. I saw someone try and say, like, oh no, he does this from time to time where he'll delete a bunch of pictures. Don't know if that's true. Don't really believe that. And then for it to be all Mets pictures, this is a little sketchy, but it's a weird thing. And you have to assume that if this is true, he says Cleveland, this is looking good for a Francisco Lindor trade.
So I'm not going to overthink this. I'm just going to state the obvious is that if the Mets were to trade for Francisco Lindor, Ahmed Rosario would 100% probably be in that deal. Even just to clear the logjam. And if he's not part of that deal, they would probably look to trade him to another team because that infield is way too crowded. We've talked about like how we have like Jeff McNeil, JD Davis, Dom Smith, Pete Alonso, Robinson Cano, Jimenez. Like, the infield is fucking full of bodies right now. And if you're going to trade for a top infielder, you got to get rid of some of those names. You got to make room for people. We got too many bodies in there.
I don't think it would be 100% he's in this trade, but I do think that if you get Lindor, he would be in a trade. Speaking of a Francisco Lindor trade, we talked about this before, or we talked this off air, but there was on MLB Network this morning, they were talking about a bunch of trade proposals for Francisco Lindor for a bunch of different teams. And the Mets one was up there. And I want to get your thoughts on this trade. So the proposed trade was the Mets get Francisco Lindor and catcher Austin Hedges. And they would give up Andrés Giménez, our good boy, Jeff McNeil, Pete Crow Armstrong, and their number 25 prospect, Riley Gillum.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I don't know why Jeff McNeil has to be a part of that. If you look at every other trade package that like all these other teams were proposing, like none of them had like Jeff McNeil's he's an all-star. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to include an all-star and then our number one draft pick from last year. And
I think in any trade,
a one year rental.
Well, no, I think you make that trade, you have to have like guarantee that he's gonna sign an extension.
Yeah,
I think any trade you make with Francisco Lindor has to be like guaranteed extension. But I'm pretty sure that the Indians in any trade package, they're gonna want like two or three MLB ready guys in the prospect, or like so that would be like a Jimenez and like a JD Davis and probably like a Rosario or like one other piece and then a prospect. So they're like, I wouldn't do McNeil because, like I said, McNeil is one of the key pieces on this team. He's an all-star. But like Jimenez, even though we love him, we're a big Andres Jimenez podcast and supporter, but he's the guy I think is 100%. If we get Lindor, he's going to be in that trade.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that too. Like Lindor is obviously replacing him at shortstop. So it's not like we're trading him for a different position that we don't have a shortstop. Like you're replacing a guy who has a good amount of talent, is a nice player, but Lindor is a superstar.
Somebody also said too, is that like the Mets haven't produced a talent like Francisco Lindor. Maybe they've had like two or three players ever in a Met uniform of his talent level.
Who would you say those two or three?
Probably like,
are you talking just position players?
Yeah, just position players.
Okay, because I was gonna say DeGrom is obviously.
Yeah, no, just position players at his talent level. I don't know, maybe like fucking like Strawberry and Wright.
Jose.
Maybe, yeah, Jose.
Yeah, no, they. It's crazy, but yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that specific trade. But a lot of the other trade proposals I'm seeing, where it's like Jimenez, JD Davis, another MLB ready guy, and then a prospect, I'm in for. I would prefer not to trade Pete Armstrong because I don't want to keep trading our first round picks. But like a Brett Batty, Matthew Allen, one of those guys, I'd be fine with if we can get Lindor.
Speaking of a lot of rumors, Mets have been linked to a lot of names already, mm-hmm. which has been kind of exciting. It's funny, before we went on air, I told you I had three names of guys they've been linked to. And you're like, oh, I have three names that they've been linked to. And I was assuming we'd have the three names be the same. But we have three different names.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty exciting.
For those of you who don't know Beth, that's six different names.
Yeah. So the Mets are already linked to a lot of free agents. Now, linked might be loose, but basically we've seen that it has been reported that they have talked to at least these free agents. What happens with that, we don't know, but at least they've been linked. So the three I got are Charlie Morton, Corey Kubler, and Mike Minor.
I had Yadier Molina, Jake Odorizzi, and Marcelo Ozuna. I want to get your thoughts on those six names. Who's the most intriguing to you?
And
who do you want the most?
Okay, well, hold on.
There's two different questions.
Yeah, so intriguing out of those six names, I think it's actually Corey Kubler. That name is very, very intriguing to me. I would be very interested in him on like a buy low deal, mm-hmm. like a 1 year, like 10 million or 1 year, like 5 to 10 million range. I think if you got him for that and he could even show anything of what he used to show in Cleveland as mm-hmm. like your fifth starter, that'd be a lot of fun. I think he'd be fucking dominant. Who do I really want though? Charlie Morton, probably. I definitely want Charlie Morton. If I didn't get Charlie Morton, I would be totally fine with Kubler.
It's Kluber, bro.
It's Kluber. I was waiting. I want to keep him the string along.
I was giving you the benefit of the doubt. That has nothing to do with how you pronounce.
No, you're not. No, you just can't speak.
This episode is brought to you by Brian learning how to pronounce names.
I'm ill.
And Halls.
Are you really gonna make fun of somebody who's not feeling well?
You know it's bad when even I know that you're saying it wrong.
Yeah, that's tough.
All right. You hear the call?
The famous call.
Charlie Morton. Let's keep this moving.
I'm past just being disrespectful right now when he hasn't.
No, you just can't speak. Just take your hits and let's go.
Get your halls and go.
Coughing. My illness. I don't know how you feel, but I don't know how I feel about the Ozuna part.
The Ozuna one was the one I was interested about because it's like he's not playing center field, so like it's a weird thing that they're, it might just be doing due diligence. Like if you can get like that guy on like a very like a cheap contract and like kind of get him on discount, yeah, you get him and then you make room for him and you see what happens. But I don't think he's gonna go for a cheaper contract that they think, so it might just be due diligence, like I said. But that's intriguing because they have those corner outfields kind of. They have that fine. Like they don't need Ozuna. It would be a luxury. The one that I agree with you, the one I want the most is Morton. but I do think he's going to go back to the Rays. So I think the one most likely out of those guys is probably Corey Kluber.
Thanks.
And in a, I was actually talking to my brother, or he said this, that like this would be a good signing too, but the exception from years past is this wouldn't be touted as the best Mets signing for the offseason. This wouldn't be their big offseason sign. This would just be a nice addition sign to when they eventually get like a Springer or Romuto. Like this would be an additional piece. So I would like that Kluber, like you said, like as the back end starter, kind of like a bounce back deal.
Yeah, I don't like the Ozuna thing. I'm trying to think about it more. I really don't think I like it. I think we're just creating more issues for us. He's not a good defensive player. We need a center fielder. Mm-hmm. We need someone that's like, and you don't want to throw him out there in center field. It's going to be very similar to having like Cespedes out there. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't feel confident buying high in him because I feel like, you know, that cute one-year deal he just signed, that's not what he's going to be getting. He's going to be getting like a 3 or 4 year deal with some solid money attached to it. And I just feel like they could go to so much better places than that. Our offense really isn't the issue. Like upgrading the offense is great, but like you don't need to. Like if they ran that same offense out there right now and just upgraded the whole pitching staff, like they would fucking dominate. So I'd rather them focus on the task at hand.
I think Ozuna goes back to the Braves anyway, which is annoying, but
don't like that.
No. I also think one of the other interesting ones that I had in mind was Jake Odorizzi, who was hurt last year, but in like years past, he was always like a solid kind of, I know the year prior in 2019, he went like 15-7 with like a 3.88 ERA. You can get that guy in your team. That's a really good piece. Like at the back end of the rotation. And you probably like coming off an injury, you could also get him on the cheaper side, but he bounces back to that form. He's a constant like high 3, low 4 ERA guy. So that's your 4 when Noah gets back, 5 starter. That's a really good, that'd be an interesting sign that I would be here for.
All right. So we just did that whole part of the episode where we talked about things that are really important. Are we ready to get into the part of the episode that we've all been waiting for?
Absolutely.
I think we are.
Pat, you really haven't talked a lot this episode. You've kind of been useless. So why don't you set this table?
Thanks for that intro.
That was mean.
Yeah. No, it's the off season.
Sorry, I'm sick, Pat. I'm being hurtful.
Your sickness isn't an excuse for you being an ass.
Thank you for acknowledging my sickness.
Shut up. No, it's the off season. So I thought, you know what? We've been doing some like, I don't know, some rankings, some like picks. I'm like, you know what? Let's just get weird for one episode. So I was like laying in bed. I'm like, you know what? What would be a good draft is our favorite types of balls, or like the best balls.
So you were laying in bed thinking about the
best I was laying in bed staring. I was going to say staring at some balls, but no. But I was I just think it'd be good. The thing is, this is open up for interpretation. So whatever you want to interpret balls, it doesn't have to be the same interpretation for each pick. But just top 5 balls. And I have the random generator. So
I feel like Pat should start.
Well, I did the random generator.
This is your brainchild. I think you should start.
What's your random generator?
The random generator is PJ, Pat, and Brian. And we're also doing snake draft too. So basically,
Pat, I'll trade you my pick because this is your brainchild and I want you to go first.
All right. I'll go first then. So we'll do me, PJ, Brian.
Yes.
Okay. We'll do snake draft.
All right.
So like I said, any way you want to interpret it.
Okay.
So my number one, I went with the jawbreakers from Ed, and Eddie. I consider them balls. Those things look absolutely delicious. As a kid growing up, I always saw them. It was wild. They never got their hands on one until like the last episode, but they just looked absolutely phenomenal. And I've always wanted to have a jawbreaker from that show.
That's a good pick.
Yeah,
I don't know if I could say a ball. It is a it is a spherical object. So I guess that.
Yeah,
I already thought we're already all going to be off. I thought the word ball had to be included in what it was.
It could be.
That was my.
But it also can be right, a physical ball.
Pat went off. All right.
No, I like that, Pat. It's good. My first round pick is the phrase ball is life.
Okay.
I mean, this is a baseball possibility, you know, ball is life. That could be turned to baseball. It's mostly for basketball. It could be for football, whatever ball you want. That ball, that's life.
I feel like that's a saying that like we joke around and saying it. I wish I got to a point in my basketball career where I could actually mean it when I say ball is life.
Ball is life. Yeah. Brian.
All right. Let's see how you took it.
I get two picks.
Yeah, you get two picks.
All right. So my first one is going to be the ball python.
I'm sorry. What? Is that a reptile? Is that
it is. Amphibian? It's a type of snake. Ball python. It's the name of it. And then my number.
Hold on. Let's don't. What the fuck's a ball python?
It's a type of snake.
Why is it called a ball python?
Because it
literally looks like a normal ball.
Give me a fun fact about the ball python.
Did you have to? It's non-venomous. There you go. There's your fun fact. Did you know a ball python off the bat, or did you have to look up ball?
No, I had a ball python growing up.
Okay. That makes more sense then.
My second one is a ball, but like the type of dance. Like I'm taking you to the ball.
Okay. You stole one of mine, actually. I had Cinderella's ball down, but I won't use that. Speaking of that, do you know what Cinderella said when she got to the ball?
Hello.
Okay.
This is a family show, guys.
Sorry to the Bonello parents.
Yes, they frequently listen.
Oh God, sorry.
My second round pick is going to be Ball State University.
Just a
great college. I love education. We're big on it. And Ball State. I'm rambling because I'm trying to think of any sort of athlete that went to Ball State, and I'm not getting anything off the top of my head.
I honestly, growing up, I always thought that was like slang for like, I thought they were actually called like another way, it's actually called Ball State. David Letterman went there.
Oh, that's cool.
Bonzi Wells.
Oh, former fucking great Trailblazer Bonzi Wells. Willie Snead. Ball was his life.
Blaine Bishop.
Fuck Willie Snead.
I don't remember Blaine Bishop.
Superintendent Chalmers from The Simpsons was accredited to going to Ball State University. It's a little Simpsons fact for you.
There you go. All right, so they got some alum.
Yeah.
All right, it's my pick, right?
This graphic's going to be funny when you make it.
Oh, I'm going to love it. I've just been thinking about the graphic. All right, so for my number two pick, I'm choosing very specifically, the medium-sized foam balls from PE. Because you know how sometimes the PE teacher had like the big, very like two, not inflated ball, and it sucked throwing it. The medium size, perfect for like just your hands to chuck them. So that's my second pick. We're playing like tomato hunt, dodgeball,
and has a bunch of stuff in it. Oh, it's perfect. A perfect throwing ball.
Brian sounds like he's not big into PE. He also looks like
I'm really going through my list.
He's done this list. His first pick was a fucking snake. All right. And then
keep going. It's you. Again.
So now it's my third pick, right? All right. So my third pick is the lyric "ball so hard, motherfuckers want to find me." Ooh. I think that's like the hardest I've ever rapped a lyric. And that's like a go-to, like at like a Sweet 16 or like a, I don't know, a quinceañera. You just always got like, it's just a hard lyric to say. Not hard as in like pronunciation, unless you're Brian.
Pronunciation. Just,
yeah, pronunciation.
You can't talk.
Just imagine 6'4", super skinny, pale white guy standing in the middle of the dance floor saying, "ball so hard, motherfuckers try to find me."
Want to find me. It's wanna, not want to. You just sound like a narc.
Would enjoy finding me.
My third pick is similar to Pat's. It's and I'm gonna need you to splice in the actual song here. It's the lyric "We Fly High" in the song "Ballin'" by Jim Jones. We fly high, no lie.
Okay.
Ballin'.
Okay, that's good. That's a good pick.
These are different types of balls. These are just phrases that have the word "ball" in it. I'm the only one who
snake. That's also not a ball.
You chose a snake, Brian. You can't.
Your first pick would not have been my 12th pick.
My three and four pick. My number three pick is the Epcot ball.
I don't hate that. I like that pick. That's a good pick.
That's a good pick.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank
Do
you.
Do they still have that ride inside the ball, or is that discontinued?
No, they have that ride still. Spaceship Earth is what it's called.
Isn't it like you have to put your name in too, and they say your name at the end?
Yeah, they're like, this is, they try to predict your future.
That's what it is. Okay.
So Pat would be
my ride broke down half. My ride broke down halfway through, and they said, "Sir, please get off the ride."
Yikes! That's really depressing. My last and final one is the balls of Steve Cohen to fire the entire front office within an hour.
That's a good mic drop moment. Beside the fact that you have one more pick.
That was it. Oh, that was five.
That was your fourth. We're doing five.
No. What a crazy fourth pick, right? Rich Springle there in the middle. But speaking of that, we didn't really talk about it last episode, but yeah, Steve Cohen just fucking was like, yeah, Brody, everyone else, get the fuck out of here. Brody, Omar, get out of here.
Yeah, balls of steel. So yeah, that's my four then. The balls of Steve Cohen to fire everybody after an hour.
And your five's going to be awesome, though.
My fourth pick is going to be the BBB, the Big Baller Brand.
Ah,
yeah. Shout out LeVar, shout out LaMelo, shout out LiAngelo.
You stole mine. I had LiAngelo down. He was on my honorable mentions, but I had LiAngelo Ball down.
I had LiAngelo down as well. But there you go. I figured the Big Baller Brand was a good pick.
Even better. All right. So then my number four is a soccer ball, but specifically the soccer ball from Fortnite. Where sometimes you'd have that challenge where you would have to kick it into the goal like three times in the game. I think that's my favorite form of soccer ball. And they also have the worst fucking physics too with that soccer ball. It's like impossible.
And your last pick, Pat?
My last pick is, I don't know if you guys remember this from a kid, the Icebreaker liquid ice balls. They were like the very, very small. I'll share my screen and show you what they look like. They were the very, very small like mints that tasted kind of like rubber balls, and they would it was like
I don't know what this is,
20 times more potent than like just taking like regular gum. Someone else can go next. I'll look it up while I look up a picture of this.
Well, my fifth and final pick is going to be former Wisconsin and Denver Broncos running back Monty Ball. Guy was a stud at Wisconsin. Had like one or two good years with the Broncos, but yeah, Monty Ball, shout out to him.
I was not expecting it to come around with me having both of these on the board, so this could make or break my whole list. Man, I'm gonna go with just the simple Great Balls of Fire.
The song, great,
yeah, great,
the
great, great Balls of Fire.
Okay,
it's gonna be my number five. Do we all have ours?
Yeah.
Can we list some honorable mentions?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. So some honorable mentions I had were cheese balls, like those little cheese ones.
Those are good.
I had mothballs. You know,
that's really your favorite ball, mothballs. You're a big mothball guy.
Getting spiders out of vents. I had disco balls, and I had Ball State University.
I had a hacky sack, which I guess you would consider a ball. But I was like, that might be a little bit of a stretch. I used to love hacky sacking. I had a LiAngelo ball. I had Cinderella's ball. Glenny balls from Barstool. He's on the up and up. I think that's all I had for my honorable mentions.
Yeah. I also had Glenny balls. Shout out. I had those little mozzarella balls. I think those things are fucking delicious. To snack on.
They're so good.
They're so good.
With like the one with like the tomato.
No, just like in and of itself, like you get a package of like three little mozzarella balls.
Mm-hmm.
Those are good snacks.
I would eat those for dinner in college.
Yeah, like I would eat those for dinner literally like 3 days ago.
In college, I would have a slice of cheese and water, and that'd be my dinner.
I also had the LiAngelo ball. I had short-lived reality show Ball in the Family with all the Ball family.
Oh God!
Yeah. Wow!
Yikes! Wow, that wasn't that bad.
No, that was good.
Brian needs to work on his random draft next.
Yeah.
Starting off with a snake is just not.
I like this idea, Pat. I'm glad you said draft. I think this is a lot. This is fun.
Hold on. I think we're going to post these lists in a graphic, and we're going to make people vote on obviously who won.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I lost.
I think you lost.
I don't think you won.
I think this is a two horse race.
I didn't lose.
Great ball. The thing is, it's how you start. You started with a ball snake.
Start with ball python, not ball snake. Ball, and if you put ball snake is in a python the fucking snake? Graphic,
no, I'll do ball python. Don't worry. All right, then we'll see. We'll put it on Twitter. Then we'll do. We'll post a picture of the graphic, and we'll make everyone vote.
Yeah. See. PJ, give us a random Met.
So our random Met this week is it's Wilmer Flores. Figured that's a good one. Good one to talk about. Wilmer Flores was on the Mets for how long? Was he on the Mets? Like 6 years, maybe.
That sounds right.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But what were your thoughts on Wilmer Flores? Because I think Wilmer Flores got some hate at times that wasn't warranted. They're like, oh, you should be playing better. It was exactly 6 years, by the way.
Yeah, it was. I just looked it up.
Yeah. Right before the World Series team, like, oh, he needs to step up. Like, no, this is Wilmer Flores. This is like how good he is. This is what you're expecting out of him. It's everyone else that kind of probably needs to live up to what they're playing as. What are your thoughts?
I think the initial reaction was like maybe you would hope Wilmer would turn into like an everyday like second baseman, or he would be on the field every single day. And if you got rid of that expectation, you just viewed him as like a platoon, nice bat off the bench and like a good clubhouse guy, then I feel like he like exceeded that expectation. Like he was such a lovable fan favorite. He had a nice little bit of pop in his bat and he was just really easy to root for. Do you want him on the field every single day playing 150 games? No. But that being said, like he's still going to get 300 to 400 at bats and you're going to have fun watching Wilmer Flores play. And like he will always be remembered. That was such an iconic like stretch in 2015 with the whole like trade deadline, walk off home run, like wanted to be a Met crying on the field, all that jazz. Like that will go down and be a part of Mets history forever. So like Wilmer will always be a part of that 2015 team. And like anytime we look back on it, like you can't look back at that team without looking at Wilmer Flores.
You know, he's a big part of this that mid-2000s Mets history. And like you said, guy was not a good fielder. Guy was slow as shit. But he could hit. He could hit a little bit. You could expect like 15 homers and 15 like 50. And have a bat somewhere in the mid 260s, which is a nice bat to have in your lineup every now and then. So Wilmer Flores will go down in Mets history as like having an iconic moment and a big part of that year, that 2015 year, and he'll go down as like a good player, a solid bat for the Mets.
I agree.
You got anything else?
No, not really. I think that's all I got this episode.
Uh-huh. Thank you, everyone, for listening. As always, we have a lot of fun doing this. Go follow us on Twitter at Scoop Big Man Pod, where we had a few tweets that I'm very proud of that got a lot of love over the last week or so. Go follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Scooter Big Man Pod. Again, I'm hand up. I'm a little slacking on the Instagram. I want to try and get that up and just try to get ideas. If anyone has any ideas for me that they want to see me do, I'm more than happy to try and do that, but go follow us on all social media platforms. Brian, Pat, you guys got anything else?
Brian, I hope you feel better.
Meet the Mets, fuck the rest at last, cause you're listening to the best sports podcast. We got Brian with jokes that make you laugh on the floor. He's a nine of best, like Brennan and Mo. PJ's the man, so many hearts to steal, like a squirrel find a nut, call him Jeff McNeil. And then there's Pat, keeping everything rational. Too bad the fuckers are a fan of the Nationals. Stop us, please, we ain't that slow. Push a ball so far like Pete Alonso. So sit back, relax, and if you're a Mets fan, cause you're about to witness Scooter and the Big Man.